Galatians, we are going to study of the Galatians. Of course, whenever we start the new book, we go through the introduction and overview of that. So go ahead and open your Bible to the Galatians, please. And we will start. Do you know anyone who used to be in a certain situation for a long time, that person, he is now willing to change to something new, even though it may be better? Do you know anyone like that? Maybe it's, you might be one of those people. As we get older, we often use the phrase that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. I doubt that. If we want to, we can learn new tricks. If a slave chooses to remain as a beaten and a starved slave, even though he is set free, and if somehow he thinks that he's better off in current situation, then change the situation, we have to wonder what is going through in that slave's mind. Instead of taking a lungful of a sweet, fresh, cool, and pure air of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the people of Galatia, the believers of the Galatian church, decided they're going to go back to the dark, dank, and filthy dungeon of legalism, that where they came from, the paganism and the Judaism. Please don't think that this letter had only limited in the first century church, because it applies to the 21st century church. We still have many modern-day Pharisees around us alive and well. And they have a staunch stance when it comes to the do's and don'ts with a legalistic view. And we find them in the Christian domes. And I'm not talking about the cause which put their followers within their fence, their perimeter, with the intimidation and fear tactics. I'm talking about some denomination telling people that unless you speak in tongue, you're not one of us, or unless you're being slain by the Holy Ghost, they call it Holy Ghost, and or they call it, they said unless you are baptized by our denomination, you are not saved. And don't think that I'm making this up. It's the truth. By the way, the book of Galatians is written to the churches of Galatia. This is the whole region of Galatia, from the northeast corner of the Asia Minor to the Mediterranean Sea. All of this is considered as a Galatia area. And it's not a one church. Like Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and it's pretty much dominant major metropolitan cities. But rather, this is about the region. We'll stop here and pray. Father, Book of Galatians, the way you intend was to set us free from the legalism, holding on to the grace that we receive as a gift from you. It's not that anything we can boast. If we must boast, we boast in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sin on the cross, that we may be holy and righteous in your sight. Father, drill that important aspect of Christianity into our heart, that we may not compromise that portion. Oh, it's so easy for us to think that it has something to do with us. Only qualification we have anything to do with the grace is that we are that wicked, wretched sinner. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for keeping us. And thank you for giving us grace through Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Apostle Paul identify himself as the author in this letter in verse 1. He not only reveals his name, but also he wants the readers to know that what kinds of authority he carries. And an apostle with the direct authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any man-made, but by chosen by God. According to many biblical scholars, the apostle wrote this letter somewhere around the AD 48 to 53, and while he was in Antioch after his first missionary journey. Thus, the book of Galatians should be considered as the first epistles of the apostle Paul. You guys know the difference between epistle and apostle, right? It's not wife. Alright, let's take a look at the theme of the book. This letter to the Galatians is an impassioned letter. There's a strong feeling. We're gonna learn that from the verse 6. He's gonna pour his heart into it. Paul had heard that Galatian Christians are falling away from the true gospel of grace and turning to the legalistic approach to salvation. And he wished to turn them back to the freedom of salvation by faith alone. How many of you guys know the Seventh-day Adventists? Do you consider them as a Christian? Huh? Seventh-day Adventist people, they said, well, you still gotta follow all this procedure, the laws. They are very staunch about the laws. And they said, well, you got to eat the kosher, you have to honor the Sabbath, so they have a service on Saturday. Yeah, a lot of things.
They can be very different
from church to church. Yeah, but mainly they are very legalistic people. A friend of mine who, actually, he's the one who introduced me into the prison ministry. And sometimes you have to work with the Seventh-day Adventists in the prison ministry. And this friend of mine, he's a sound mind person and sound doctrine, but for some reason he said, well, they are brother in Christ, so I stopped him cold. So I said, no, they are not brothers in Christ. They made salvation as a brother, a Christ plus work. Remember this formula I gave you guys? Christ plus work equals nothing. Anytime you add any of our effort into what Christ has done, your salvation just went out the window. That formula does not work. And I told him that Seventh-day Adventist is not a Christian denomination. It's a cult. So make that clear in your heart. I can almost see the Apostle Paul putting his two fists on his hips, standing in front of this. I mean, if he would stand in front of them, he would do that kind of thing. He was yelling at them and popping his vein on the both sides of his temple and asking them, which part of no human work you do not understand? Probably he's asking them. In doing so, he argued that not only the sinner saved by grace, but the saved sinner also live by grace. You get that? Grace is the only way to life and the way of life. Let me say one more time. Grace is the only way to life, eternal life, and the way of Christian life. If I may elaborate a little bit. Here is one phrase from this book's theme. Justification comes by faith in Christ Jesus, not by works of the law. Here is the key verse from the book of Galatians that we can find in the second chapter of Galatians, verse 16. Go there, please. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Is that clear enough for you? Let's take a look at the Galatians spiritual situation. shortly after Apostle Paul planted the churches in Galatia, churches is not just one church, churches in Galatia is because it's a region, group of legalistic Jews and began to attack his message. They are known as Judaizers. Had incorporated Christ into their religious system, but they reject the idea that he alone saved people. And they also insisted that it was necessary to belong to the Jewish people in order to receive the full blessings of God. So how the Gentile, the Galatians, can become a Jew? First of all, they have to be, if they are male, they have to be circumcised, and they have to follow the Sabbath observance, and they have to eat kosher food, and go. The list goes on and on and on. I remember what the Apostle Peter said to the rest of the gang, and he said, "We could not obey this law. Why do we expect the Gentile to follow this thing?" From the Book of Acts. Why did the legalistic bondage appeal to the new converts of believers and the converts of the Galatians? Because remember this, people. These people were pagan followers, pagan idol followers. They just walked away from their pagan idols. And they are losing their social identity. And when everybody is going to the pagan temple and to follow their pagan ritual, they are staying at home. And they gotta have in their minds, they gotta have something to follow. And there is a Judaizer showing up. They're filling that vacuum with their concept, Judaism concept. You gotta do this. You gotta do this. Okay, Jesus Christ, He's a Savior. I don't disagree with that. But you gotta do this. Am I making sense? All of a sudden, they had this vacuum. Instead of filling that vacuum with the Word of God, remembering what the Apostle Paul taught them, instead of filling that with that message, they are filling it up with rituals, man-made rituals. Three issues, fundamental issues we can learn from the Book of Galatians. First one is the definition and the defense of justification by faith. In my opinion, except for the Book of Romans, the Paul's letter to the Galatians contains perhaps the clearest and most concise articulation of the gospel in Scripture. Justification by faith. Justification in faith. Salvation comes by faith in Christ alone. It is God's gracious gift given to the undeserving sinners. That is a grace, right? And this truth is the bedrock of our faith. Our understanding of it can make the difference between the life of spiritual freedom or one of the bondage. Remember what I told you guys about the definition of a religion? It's a man's approach to God. Man's rules and regulation to make ourselves think that we can approach God Almighty. You know what it is? It's degrading, humanizing God and deifying human. That's what the religion is. Am I making sense to you guys? Let me say one more time. Religion is humanizing God, deifying human, so we can be in the same level to meet Him. Second function is a function of the Mosaic Law. Do I disagree with the law? No, I do not. The law does not save us, because none of us can keep the law perfectly, although legalists try to convince us that we can. Discarding the legalism, however, doesn't mean that we despise the law. Remember, Jesus did not despise the law. He fulfilled the law. The law is good, and it has a purpose, and God gave us the law to serve us as a tutor to show us our sins and drive us to the grace found in Christ Jesus. Love pointed to us that we are sinners. Make us to realize that, hey, there's a holy God and we are sinners. There's no way we're going to make our way to God. Make us realize how wretched we are. Then there's a bridge coming from heaven to earth, that is Jesus Christ. Third issue is balanced Christian life. Balanced Christian life. The gospel frees us from the legalism, trying to work our way to the God by keeping man-made religious rules. But the gospel also keeps us from the drifting into revertism. That's a fancy way of saying the taking our freedom in Christ on healthy, unloving extremes, and saying that I have a freedom, I can do whatever I want to do. And as those who are saved by grace, we are now free to love and obey Christ as well as love and serve one another. We are free not to do whatever we want, but to do whatever God wants. You agree? Let's take a look at the structure of this book. It's divided. Paul's response to the Judaizers' heresy is a sharp and sarcastic, and even angry. And he doesn't mince any word when it comes to the dealing with these people. Book of Galatians can be divided into three sections: chapter 1 and 2, chapter 2, 3 and 4, and 4 and 5. Starting with first one, the personal word from the Paul, chapter 1 and 2. Right from the get-go, Apostle Paul points his index finger to the sternum of the Galatian people and asking them where they get these kinds of heresies and why in the world they lost that message that he taught them. Go to the verse 6, please. Now you find a little bit of a sarcasm here. I marveled that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Get this. Which is not another, but there is some who trouble you and want to divert the gospel of the Christ. Since we are there, then let's go down to verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, then we have preached to you what we preach to you. Let him be what? Accursed. That's a strong word. We're going to go over there to next study. Unfortunately, he had to remind Galatians readers of the gospel that he taught with the authority comes from Jesus Christ. In verse 12, go there, verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came from the revelation of Jesus Christ. This message didn't come from any man. It's not man-made message. Rather, it's from God himself. As a testimony to this truth, Paul lists some of his personal experience, his background in Judaism and conversion, and his visit to the Jerusalem, visiting the apostles after his conversion, and his open rebuke of Peter. Such things verify his message and ministry. Paul wanted them to know exactly who this man was that the Lord used to write this challenging and convicting letter. Second section is a doctrinal teaching, chapter 3 and 4. In this section, the having established that his gospel is God's gospel, and he turned again to the Galatians' defection, or should we say desertion, to draw the sharp distinction between the law and grace. Bless you. The law, rather than saving us, was given to show us the God's standard and our sin. It serves as a tutor to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. It is Christ's grace, not the law, that made the Galatians and us part of a family of faith. where they are neither race, gender, nor social status provide any advantages. Remember, Judaism said, you have to be Jews. You have to be, you cannot remain as a Gentile. And you have to do this, do that. Of course, they somehow managed to tell people being a woman is not worth a whole lot. Boy, it's a good thing they didn't, they are not alive here now. We all are co-recipient of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now keep your finger, go to the chapter 3, verse 23 of Galatians, please. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard by the law, kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. There it is. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We don't need to be told that we are sinners. We already know. And we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. We are forgiven by grace of God. Then Paul pleaded with them to turn back to the message he preached. And instead of holding on to the worthless and elementary things. Now, final section is chapter 5 and 6, practical exhortation. Apostle Paul would not let these people go in the daily grind without practical exhortation and applications. This is what he's so good at. He give them doctrinal information for four chapters and dump truckload of them, and he dumped it on them and he sought through them for them and teach them this is how you used for this and this is what you use for this kind of occasion. He gave them practical applications. Apostle Paul turned his attention to the defense of the life and Christian freedom. And this will answer the Judaizer objection that living by grace promotes lawlessness and loose living. And where do you find that? Chapter 5, verse 13, please. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. For through love, serve one another. Remember what I told you about using liberty to on extreme, to the other side of extreme, in an unhealthy way, unloving way. I called it libertism. This is what he's talking about. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, be aware lest you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. By the way, it's a capital Spirit. Walk, if it was walk in Spirit, probably that means you can get drunk. It's a walk in the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And then you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. Unlike false teachers who want to boast the circumcision instead of the cross, Paul desired to boast only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Savior who died on the cross. We'll go down to verse 16, chapter 6, verse 14. He was not boasting about the practice of circumcision, rather the conversion in Christ Jesus. But God forbid that I should boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Amen? Three enduring lessons that we can learn. First one is that no one is immune to the temptation to drift from the true gospel. No one. Later we're going to find out the Apostle Paul made open rebuke. If Apostle open rebuke to the Peter, If the Apostle Peter drifted from the true gospel due to the peer pressure from the legalistic Judaizer, so can we. The first step in getting us drifted from the someone around is for someone around us to question the truth. They don't have to say that what we have is wrong. They just question. Put the seed of doubt in our heart. And for us to tolerate that question. And when we get soft on the truth about the gospel, drifting has begun before we know it. Think about the erosion. During the flood season, water seeps through under the ground, softening the ground. And once that is done, it doesn't take a whole lot for that ground to crumble underneath. Second lesson is some things are worth a vigorous defense. A gospel of Jesus Christ is preeminently the worthy of a vigorous defense. We need to major in major, not in minor. What am I talking about? What is a major in major? Deity of Jesus Christ. That is a major. What about the eternal security of the salvation? That's a minor. What about the speaking in tongue? That's a minus minor. What about the virgin birth? That's a major. What about the omniscience and omnipotent and omnipresent capability of God? That's a major. Denominational guideline that dividing from one to another, that is a minor. You with me? Third lesson is that all of us learn and begin at the same place, the same level. Guess what that is? Sinners. So look at each other. You are sinners. I like the way the Jerry Hamby, great theologian Jerry Hamby said that he's a perfect. I kind of looked at him and said, I'm a perfect sinner. So I said, oh yeah, you are. Every one of us is saved only by grace, nothing else. And there is no room for pride when we realize that ground leading to the cross is level. Amen? All right, let's pray. Stand up and pray. Oh, how often we grieve your heart, thinking that we are better than someone else because we are Calvary Chapel people. Remind us, Calvary Chapel did not corner heaven. Remind us that you will say, Calvary Chapel, what? When we get to heaven. But let us boast about Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. Remind us that where we came from, and also remind us where we are going by grace of God. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.